ETC is go.
Pegasus is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show. Yep, it is the 6th of August. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And I think we should briefly tell our listeners what happened Tuesday and then Wednesday morning.
Did something happen? Did I miss something?
Yeah, we didn't get on air.
Well, Tuesday night, we had every intention of being on the air live right now at our regular time. But I get a call, oddly, I'm sitting here at my computer, and Diane calls me on my phone, and it's like a quarter after. It's you know, we got 45 minutes till we go on the air, right? And she says, I got a problem. And I'm like, what? She said, my computer won't come up. Well, we sat there and tried everything we could think of, and collectively, the two of us working on a computer, we can't think of a whole lot. But we tried things, and it just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't come up.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
What the heck is that?
I have a new phone, folks, and I'm shutting it down. But for some reason, Siri keeps popping in.
Well, tell Siri that that was mine.
Oh, okay. Guys, it's just one of those weeks. I'm putting it in the drawer. Guys, it's just one of those weeks. The tech world is revolting against us because we are tech stupid.
Well, everything we tried, nothing worked. Couldn't get Diane's computer to come back up to save ourselves ahead of showtime. And so for those people who tuned in, they heard a little bit of that because we talked about it. I held my cell phone up to the microphone here at my desk. And, you know, so we had Diane on via cell phone and everything. Well, we punted the show. We said, look, we'll just do a podcast on Wednesday morning. We'll just cut it as a podcast on Wednesday morning. And we did, except it didn't record anything.
Like we said, we are not techno savvy.
So what you missed, the show you missed on Tuesday was awesome. You'll just have to take our word for it.
Yeah, the podcast was great. Too bad we couldn't get it out to our listeners.
Nothing recorded. We got done. Right. I'm like, what the? So we gave up. That's what we did. We gave up. But but Wednesday, your computer came back like nothing had ever happened.
Like nothing happened. And the only thing that I can think of is we were having very bad storms here in South Florida all afternoon into the evening. And I never lost internet access. But I think somehow the storms affected the internet input into the computers.
Yeah, well, that could
be. It's the only thing I can think of, coupled with another driver update.
Well, there's always that.
Yeah, coming in at a very inappropriate time.
But Anyway, so there was no show Tuesday or podcast on Wednesday, but we're here now, and that's what counts.
Yes, and we have a lot to say.
Well, we got a 1 hour show tonight. We're in the summer hours, so we're doing a 1 hour show tonight, and there are some things that really I think need to be talked about. Some of this stuff, let's face it, none of this stuff will you hear on mainstream media. None of it.
No, not at all. And especially in regards to Biden's little friends in China. But thankfully, our senator, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, has taken them on, and he's been very, very vocal about it. In fact, last Wednesday, he said that China has weaponized America's own corporate lust for profits against the U.S., and he's right. Now, Marco Rubio isn't just senator. He is actually the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, so he has a lot of background and actually knows what he's talking about, and he actually said it's time to wake up and look at corporate America's reliance on the Chinese Communist Party. In fact, he went on to say, the U.S. corporations are so desperate to have access to the Chinese market that they'll lead costly boycotts in an American state that passes a law that they don't like. American companies have actually fired Americans who live in America for saying or writing something that China doesn't like. And you know what company comes to mind right off the bat?
Which one?
Can you guess, Craig?
Go ahead. Which one?
Nike.
Well, that's a big one because, you know, they make all their shoes over there in China. And they're very pro-China because, you know, they get cheap labor.
Yes. Yeah, you know? And they're not bringing it back to the U.S. They said in a couple of weeks ago in a article online that their business is China first and foremost. Well, hello, you're an American company. Why is your business first and foremost for China? Because they kiss your butts, they have cheap labor, and there's probably some dirty dealings going on as well.
Let's look at something that the liberals are big on, and Nike doesn't want any part of it. Even though Nike and the people that run it are very liberal, okay, they will support liberals, but they won't bring their business here because of liberals. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here.
Okay,
over in China, they're getting those shoes manufactured for literally pennies on the dollar per hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they come over here and they continue to support the liberals, every one of the people that works in their factories, if the liberals had their way, is going to get paid a minimum of $15 an hour. Okay? There's no way that Nike is going to bring their manufacturing business back to the United States and have to pay $15 an hour to have for each employee to have their shoes manufactured. They will support the liberals over here to turn this country into a Marxist communist crap hole.
Yeah.
Okay. But they won't bring their business, their manufacturing back here because they don't want to pay the price that the liberals say everybody has to pay.
That's very true. Well, here's something else to think about, folks. COVID. Okay. The China virus. I'm no longer calling it COVID. I'm calling it the China virus, as President Trump does. Here it is. We got that courtesy of them. Who is making more masks that everybody is being forced now to wear again? Who's making more masks than anybody else?
Ooh, ooh, China. I know this. It's Bulgaria. Wait, it's not Bulgaria?
It's China. Look at your masks, folks. Look at the packages it comes in. It might have American writing on it, but look at the fine print, made in China. China is profiting off of the disease that they created and weaponized and sent to us. They are profiting off of it. If that doesn't get you mad, I don't know what will.
You say that like you're shocked by it.
No, I'm not shocked by it, but here's something else. According to Marco Rubio, China is stealing between $300 and $600 billion a year of American technology and intellectual property. What is the Biden administration doing about it? Not a damn thing.
It's true. And, you know, the other, I mean, it's a sword with two sharp ends on it, right? Mm-hmm. Because what Marco Rubio is also talking about here is the fact that China is controlling our ability to speak freely of things that are going on. You know, he's talking about, you know, if you work for a company and you say something that China doesn't like, there's a good chance in this country you'll be fired.
Yes. Okay.
And he says, and I'll quote him here, he said, today the Chinese Communist Party has more control over what Americans can say, what we can hear, what we can read, what we can watch, than any foreign government has ever had in our history. He's right.
And he's right.
Yeah.
And he's right. In fact, Marco introduced two bills this past Wednesday that seek to bar U.S. banks from lending to projects controlled by the Chinese government and to otherwise counter CCP influence in the U.S. Two bills. You know, it very well could pass in the Senate, but if any part of it has to go to the House, it's not going to go anywhere.
No, it won't go anywhere, and they all have to go to the House. They all have to be passed by both sides. So, you know, it's not gonna amount to anything. But you know, at least he had the intestinal fortitude to put this thing out there and start talking about it in public. Now, the mainstream media, they're not going to cover that. They're not going to go into that. Why? Because they know he's right.
Exactly. In fact, you know, the Chinese government probably was directly involved in an attack on Microsoft's Exchange email servers last month. That was also played down by the media. That was a big thing, a big problem for Microsoft.
Yeah, it was. But did you hear about it on MSNBC or CBS or ABC or any of those? No. CNN? No.
You'll hear about it here, but... you know, it's to a point where President Trump did everything to keep China in check, and he succeeded in it. China is mad at us because they got the low end of the trade deal. America got the better end, which is the right thing to do. So what does Biden do when he gets in office? He takes away everything that Trump succeeded with and has now made it worse for American workers.
It's the liberal Marxist way.
Yep.
I mean, it just is. So we'll keep an eye on this and what Marco Rubio is doing over there on the Senate side, because he's on to something here. He's 100% right. And, yes. You know, we'll see how this continues to play out going into 2022. This could be... another, you know, battle weapon in the 2022 election. It really could.
It could even go so far as to be another form of Burisma for the Bidens. Burisma. It could be along those lines, something that's going to have to be dealt with by the media, whether they like it or not.
Right. And we'll see. I, you know, they don't want to admit that any conservative is correct about anything. And they certainly, mainstream media certainly doesn't want to go against China.
No.
You know, they're getting their bread and butter from China. China is literally, and I don't think most people know this, but it's true. China is paying media in this country to spread their propaganda.
Yes. And they're also infiltrating our universities, or as Craig likes to call them, the schools of higher indoctrination.
Asylums.
They are directly setting curriculum.
Yeah.
Making it a no-no to say anything bad about the Chinese Communist government. They own massive amounts of land in this country. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, you know, and her group for a lot of that.
Right.
I mean, people don't understand that China is not a security threat in the future. It's a security threat now. But
you're not going to get the Biden administration to deal with it. They love it.
No, they're too busy ignoring the problems at the southern border.
Well, and the Biden family, they're making money off of China. The family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. Let's get real.
No.
Here's something else I think we need to talk about tonight. Everybody's aware of the audits that are going on in Fulton County, Georgia. That's your Atlanta area. And the one in Maricopa County, Georgia. But there's an election expert out there. His name is Seth Keschel. Okay, the name probably doesn't ring a bell to a lot of people. He's an electronics data expert. He's also a retired Army intelligence captain.
Yes.
Okay, so this is not your tinfoil hat guy, right?
No.
He has done a lot of number crunching. I mean a lot. Nationwide, not just in those two counties, nationwide. And what he has found is that the fraud numbers are staggering. We're talking 8.1 million excess votes in the U.S. election. Okay? 8.1 million excess votes. Now, that means Trump won Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and Minnesota.
Yes. And he also believes that cyber flipping may have affected the results in New Mexico, Virginia, New Jersey, and New Hampshire as well.
However, and that's true, however, the 8.1 million, that does not take into account the cyber flipping. That cyber flipping would be on top of the 8.1 million.
Correct.
You know, now, let me explain to folks what the difference is. Okay, because I understand it can be a little bit confusing. I had to think about it for a while myself. Okay, the excess votes, that's where you have more votes that came in each state. And he put out an article on this. He put out a report, I guess probably the better way to put it. And he shows all 50 states in this report. So the excess votes are the more votes than each state has registered voters.
Correct.
Okay, that's what the excess is. Now, cyber flipping, those would be votes that when you went in and you marked Trump, the Dominion machine or whatever machine it might have been, but primarily Dominion machines, then flipped your Trump vote to Biden.
Yes.
That's a cyber flip. So that's the difference.
Yes. In fact, out of all 50 states, only Iowa and D.C., who the liberals want to become a state, but thankfully is still not a state, only did he find no overvotes in those two areas, the state of Iowa and in D.C.
Right.
But I even question that a little bit, because like you said, this report does not include the number of cyber flips.
Right, and that's,
so
and that's a big
deal.
I'm
sure in D.C. there was some cyber flips.
I wouldn't be surprised, and, you know, it's hard to tell, but he did put out a map, and it's all colored in and stuff, literally by counties, okay? And, you know, green on the map is no to little excess voting. Yellow is suspect or moderate. and red is rampant and high. And you could pretty well guess where all the rampant and high stuff is, folks. You really can't.
Oh, absolutely.
West Coast, California, Oregon, state of Washington. There's, and then you've got some sprinkled around, and you look at where these things are sprinkled. Michigan's got a lot of that. You look at where these are sprinkled, and it's all your big liberal Marxist counties, your deep blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, my county of Broward County is red, rampant high. And we've been complaining about that since before the election. We knew
right.
this was going on. And yet the powers that be did nothing about it. In fact, a couple of years ago when I was a poll watcher, I actually caught the votes being manipulated, if you will. And I wrote an article about it. I was interviewed by some major online sites who had written articles about it also. And nobody did anything about it. But Brenda Snipes, thankfully, she's out.
Right.
They finally had enough of her and she's out. But what we got in her place isn't that great either. So I'm worried about 2024. I think there's going to be a lot more security out there at the polls. But as long as you use any Dominion machines or their software, as long as you allow early voting, as long as you allow late voting.
Vote by mail.
We're still going to vote by mail.
Yep.
We're still going to have problems. We're not going to get fair counts. And until you get voter ID, which, folks, is not racist, because it's not requiring one particular race to carry an ID, but everybody to carry an ID. Until that is the law of the land, I don't think we're going to ever have a fair election.
I tend to agree with you. And, Keschel, who put out this report, when he does these things, when he tallies up all this stuff, he is always lenient with it, okay?
Yes.
If he's going to err, he's going to err on the side of caution. He's not going to overplay the hand. He's going to underplay the hand.
Yes.
Now, what he found out was that Trump won, again, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and Minnesota. And he says if you take cyber flipping into account, it's likely or possible that Trump won New Mexico, Virginia, Colorado, New Jersey, and New Hampshire. And he said it's probably closer than you thought it was in Washington, Oregon, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Hawaii.
Right. And like Craig said in the beginning, this guy has a lot of credibility behind him. He isn't just an intelligence officer. He is a retired intelligence captain. So this is no fly-by-night person putting out these numbers. This is someone with a background in intelligence, an officer, a high-ranking officer in intelligence, saying this.
Well, and he's also a cyber expert, so he knows
right.
what he's talking about when it comes to cyber flipping and how these machines, these Dominion machines work. He's got all this. He's on top of all of this. Now, he's got a site, and we'll tell you what it is, called the Telegram page. Okay?
Yes.
If you go to that Telegram page, you can see what we're talking about. You can see the map. You can see the numbers. You can see it state by state, okay, because he's got it all there. And it's staggering. 8.1 million excess votes. That means 8.1 million, leniently, votes were counted over and above the number of registered voters that are in this country.
In other words, Biden did not win the election. But the problem here is he didn't win. It can be proven. And yet he's still in office.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
There's your issue right there. Right. This whole thing, you know, I want to look at one thing that he's got on here. I want to take a good close look at this. But what he's saying is that excess Biden votes, 8,144,000, okay?
Right.
So the revised Biden total, remember, we've been told that he got 81 million votes, right?
Right.
So the revised total, and again, this is lenient, 73,125,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a huge difference. That's less votes than Donald Trump got.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you.
And I guarantee you, that's lenient numbers. I think it's much more than even that.
Right.
That Trump thought. Right.
Yeah, let me tell you what else he took into account when he put all this together, when he did all this research. He took trend analyses, population growth, voter behavior, and party registration. Okay, so he did this not just by counting numbers. He looked at all the different factors that go into vote totals, and this is what he came out with. That's staggering.
It is. It's basically criminal what went on. And the problem is we need a resolution to it, and not in three more years, not even in November of 2020. We need a constitutional lawyer to find us a way out of this mess, because if things continue as they're going now, we're going to lose our country, folks.
Yeah, we're going to quit losing elections. We'll just lose the whole country.
Exactly.
You know, so I guess the hypothetical question is, can it be reversed?
I think that somewhere in the Constitution can be found a way to remove fraudulently elected officials.
I think technically, I think you're right. Realistically, I don't think anything's going to happen because, we're too afraid of a constitutional crisis. Well, guess what?
We are in a constitutional crisis.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
And not only that, they're also too afraid of the element acting badly again, because remember, the element now dictates the political discourse. So you got cowards too afraid of the element, and you've got people screaming constitutional crisis, not understanding we are living a constitutional crisis every day now.
Something's got to give. You know, I'll say that. Something's got to give. But, check out that guy's site, folks, and see it for yourself. You will be flabbergasted by it.
Yes.
It's really something else. All right, so we're just about to the bottom of the hour here. Now, if you miss any part of the show tonight, remember, it is only a one-hour show. But if you happen to miss any part of tonight's show, you go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, you become one of the pod people. You don't even have to sign up to be a pod person. Come on, all you got to do is click the button, you know, and then you got your pick. You can listen to tonight's show or any of our other shows. They're all there, thanks to Podbean.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
We love our pod people, and we're getting more pod people all the time.
Oh, yeah, the numbers are really skyrocketing.
We're collecting pod people.
Yes.
Which is always a good thing. Folks, we're going to take a break, get a station ID in. We've got another segment on the show to go tonight, another 30 minutes, so stick with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, getting you through a Friday night edition of the show. And Diane Sturgis, the motorcycle rally began today.
Oh, were they masked or unmasked?
These are motorcycle riders. Guess.
I say that facetiously.
Take a wild guess. They're saying this might be the biggest Sturgis motorcycle rally ever.
Good for them.
They're talking about the possibility of upwards of 700,000 people.
Good.
That ought to drive the liberals crazy.
We've got to start living our lives again.
That's going to piss off.
We can't be afraid of a little bug forever.
Nope, that's going to piss off the liberals. Well, you know, they actually had the rally last year, but they only had about 400,000 people show up.
Yeah, and out of that, only, 280-something got COVID out of 400,000, yeah. And they were trying to make a big deal about the rally being a super spreader.
Well, you can imagine what they're saying now when they're expecting 700,000 people. Folks, I don't know, if you've never been to Sturgis or you don't really know, I mean, I think pretty much everybody's heard of the Sturgis rally. Sturgis, South Dakota, is a reasonably small town. It's not the smallest town I live in, but Sturgis is only 6,500 people. They're going to have 700,000 people there in the next 11 days.
And you want to know something? They'll be better behaved than the element.
Yes, they will. Yes, mm-hmm. They will. So hello to all. I mean, there's Diane Highway 20, which runs, you know, right here at my town. And you take Highway 20 all the way to Valentine, and then you turn north, and you go up 83, and that catches you on to I-90, and that takes you into Sturgis. But, I mean, the motorcycle traffic around here is crazy today. It's great.
Good.
It's fantastic.
Good. And let me explain to folks, when I say the element, I'm not talking about anybody of any particular color. I am talking about any and everyone who has no respect for the Constitution, our police, law enforcement in general, who thinks that they are entitled to things. They always have their hands out. I'm talking about the dregs of our society.
Exactly. Now, from Governor Noem up in South Dakota, who's awesome, mm-hmm. by the way, we go all the way back down to Florida, to Diane's neighborhood, okay, mm-hmm. where Governor DeSantis is in it with Joe Biden over the last couple of days. And I got to tell you, Diane, I am loving every freaking minute of this.
So are we down here, because we love our Governor DeSantis. You know, he is probably the best governor we have ever had. He is standing up to the liberal nonsense like no one has before.
Well, and let's face
it's wonderful to watch it.
Let's face it, DeSantis is badass from the word go. I mean, yes. this guy's former military.
Yes.
All right? And he wasn't like a cook in the military. All right?
No.
Not that I have anything against military cooks.
No, okay? Of course not.
But I'm just saying, this guy was out there mixing it up. So he's badass. Now, mm-hmm. He's not masking up, no mask mandates in the state of Florida, right? No shutdowns in the state of Florida. Kids are going to go to school in the state of Florida. So the other day, Joe Biden comes out and mumbles something about, the fact that DeSantis needs to, mask up, put mask mandates out there in Florida because, he's going to be responsible for spreading the COVIDs and, all this. So what was it that DeSantis said back to Biden?
He actually said when Biden called him Governor Who.
Well, no. No. Before that. No, before that. Okay. Before that, when Biden went off on him about the mask mandates and all this, COVID stuff, DeSantis comes out and he says, I don't want to hear blip from you until you close the border. Do your job.
Oh, right. Yes. And then he went on to say, do something about inflation, help the Cuban demonstrators, stand up for the Constitution. I mean, he went off on a whole litany.
I know. It was great.
Of arguments against the Biden administration, and rightfully deserved. But the whole thing, started with these masks on children, and Biden and crew are all pushing that. And Biden really led into him. That's where the whole Governor Who nonsense started, because we're not having these mandates. And Ron came back with a great comeback when Biden, said, you need to get out of my way, the masks need to go on, etc.
Let me set this up.
Protect parents and their ability to make the right choices for their kids' education.
So, yeah, he's right. He's right.
He's absolutely right.
So, the other day in a press conference, right, some reporter asked Biden, Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis said this and said this and said that and the other thing. And Biden says, Governor Who? So yeah. what was Ron DeSantis' response to Governor Who?
Well, that's the thing that I just said. I'm the governor who protects parents and their ability to make the right choices for their kids' education. And he also said, I'm the governor who answers to the people of Florida, not to the bureaucrats in Washington.
Good for him.
And that is 100% true.
He does
not take crap from those pencil pushers in D.C.
No,
he cares about Florida. He cares about the people here. He wants the best for us. We have no mask mandates. Everything is open down here. And you want to know something? All this fear about the Delta variant? Please, Craig, tell me how they know it's the Delta variant when there's no particular test for the Delta variant.
Well, I don't know. They're guessing?
Yeah. They're making it up.
They're making crap up again.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this reporter asked Biden, you know, what about DeSantis and this and this and this and, you know, Governor who? So DeSantis comes out last night and he says, well, I guess I'm not surprised that Biden doesn't remember me. I guess the question is, what else has he forgotten? He says, Biden's forgotten about the crisis at our southern border. I can tell you that. Biden's forgotten about inflation that's biting the budgets of families throughout our country. Biden's forgotten about the demonstrators who are fighting for freedom down in Cuba. Biden's even forgotten about the Constitution itself, as we saw with what he did with this moratorium. I mean, he went off again, DeSantis did. It's freaking awesome.
But one of the best things he said, he accused Biden of rejecting science and, this I quote, importing more virus from around the world via the southern border. The people coming in from our southern border now, a vast majority of them are COVID positive, showing signs, highly contagious, etc. And what does Biden do? He puts them on buses, sends them to red states in the middle of the night in the hopes of packing those red states with enough new people that it changes red states blue. Well, Biden is having none of that. He went on to say, if you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way and stand up for the kids of Florida. If you're trying to restrict people and impose mandates and ruin their jobs and their livelihood, if you are trying to lock people down, I'm standing in your way. I am standing for the people of Florida. And guess what? The people of Florida, for the most part, are standing behind Ron DeSantis, and we will continue to do so.
DeSantis is kicking Biden's ass up one side of the street and down the other right now.
Yes, yes. And I am hoping, come 2024, Ron is up for re-election in 2022. He's going to win by a landslide. But I'm hoping that come 2024, two tickets, I'll take either one. Trump DeSantis, DeSantis Kristi Noem.
Either way, it's good.
It's time to take our country back and have politicians working for us instead of for themselves, like Biden is doing. Biden is using the presidency as a way, let's face it, he's increasing his wealth via being president. And face it, folks, he's not really the president. This is Obama's third term in office.
It's everything you see is Obama. Obama, Obama, Obama. This is all his policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, you know, and folks, I'm gonna say something here, and I don't want any comments from the peanut gallery that might be listening that I'm, you know, making fun of a certain person, and you'll know who that certain person is in a moment. All right. Mm-hmm. And if you do have angry letters about what I'm about to say, please send them to Diane, as always. but when you get right down to it, okay, you talk about, you know, the two tickets, Trump DeSantis or DeSantis Noem. Kristi Noem has more balls than Biden or Michelle. And Michelle's got balls.
I love it.
You know, so if we can get Kristi Noem to the White House in some way, shape, or form, I don't care if she goes in as a president. I don't care if she goes in as a vice president. She needs to be in a position where she can help set policy for this country.
Well, if it ever was Trump again in office, and let's say it's DeSantis as his vice president, I'm sure there will be a spot in the administration for Kristi Noem.
Right. Make her the secretary of kicking butt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hey, you know, have at it.
Hey, it's better than the vice president that we have now. who doesn't kick butt but does something else that I won't say.
Well, yes. But, you know, I mean, look, right now, Ron DeSantis, Biden isn't sharp enough to mount a comeback of any kind verbally.
Yeah.
And DeSantis, he's throwing slow pitches at DeSantis, and DeSantis is hitting them out of the park. So,
well, you know what's funny? His original comment about Governor Who, if it's seriously taken, he might have actually forgotten who the governor of Florida is.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Not one bit surprised. Yeah. All right. So, good for Ron DeSantis. You know, keep going, Governor. Keep going. You know, we've all got your six, so you just keep going. Finally, on tonight's show, the last thing we want to talk about, and again, none of this stuff, you're not going to hear about any of this stuff in the mainstream media, not one bit of it. But this also deserves to be talked about. There's a new survey out that absolutely blows apart the entire liberal Marxist narrative about voter ID being racist.
Right. And this poll actually found that an overwhelming majority of voters, as in 74% of all voters, support voter ID requirements. And that number includes minority voters. Surprise, surprise, folks.
Let me give people the breakdown on the numbers, okay? The question in the poll, and this was Rasmussen, so this isn't like, you know, Ken Bob's poll, okay?
Right.
This is a Rasmussen deal. How important is it to prevent cheating in elections? Okay, this is one of the questions they asked. Now, you could answer, it was very important, it was somewhat important, or, you know, whatever, right? So, among white people, the total came out 90% think it's important to prevent cheating. In the black community, it's 87%. Other non-white, whatever that means, 89%. Among Democrats, it was 86%. Among unaffiliateds, 88%. Among Republicans, 94%. And all voters total came out to 90% of voters think it's important to prevent cheating.
Right. Yeah.
Now, in how do you words, prevent cheating?
The American people, for the most part, are open to voter ID. It's the politicians and the bureaucrats who are not.
Well, it's the liberals who are not. Because, by golly, if there's voter IDs out there, they're screwed. All right?
Right.
Now, let me tell you what's going on in my state of Nebraska right now. For years and years and years, various members, Republican members of the legislature, and remember, folks, we have a unicameral. We don't have a House and a Senate. We have one cameral. Okay? Our unicameral, our legislature, has tried for years to get a voter ID law passed this town. But the liberals that run Omaha and Lincoln over on the east coast of Nebraska, they won't stand for it. They won't have it. And they've got these high-paid lobbyists, and they have spent millions upon millions upon millions of dollars lobbying against a voter ID thing here in Nebraska. So there is now a group. They started circulating petitions yesterday. They want to put this on the ballot as a Nebraska constitutional amendment that there be voter ID. And I've got a feeling it's going to be on the ballot, and it will win.
Good.
You know, I mean,
it's time we take this on, and even if we have to do it one state at a time, it needs to be done. The things that are going along with our election system right now, it borders on the criminal, because we all know what's going on. and yet nobody's doing anything to stop it.
You say it borders on the criminal. I think it crosses the line like a watermelon crosses the line into Texas.
Well, that's just a figure of speech. Of course, it's a criminal act.
You know, I mean...
I mean, the Constitution clearly says American citizens have the right to vote. It doesn't say illegals. It doesn't say illegal criminals. It specifically says American citizens. So
right.
Biden and crew giving out all the voter Democrat cards when people cross the border, they are actually in violation of the Constitution. These people are not citizens.
Diane, you say that like the liberal Marxists give a crap.
No, they don't give a crap about anything in the Constitution. Remember, they believe, like Obama said, it's an outdated document.
But, Diane, you can't have voter ID because it's discriminatory and it's racist. And people that don't have a high education, they don't know how to run a copy machine or get a voter ID. You can't do that. Well, guess what? Guess what, folks? Let me give you some numbers here, okay? Amongst the poor and least educated in this country have the highest support for voter ID. 79% of the poor and least educated people in this country want voter IDs. Out of those who attend high school but didn't graduate, 78% want voter ID. Of those earning less than $30,000 per year, again, 78%. Among Democrats, 61%. Liberals, 48%. Those who strongly approve of Biden. Are you listening, liberals? Those who strongly approve of Biden, 54% of them want voter IDs. And for those who think that it's not important at all to support voter IDs, 48% of them say they want them. Come on.
Right. Right, it's to the point of total ludicrousness. It really is. But Craig, can I just change the subject completely for a minute?
Yeah, what you got?
Okay, because something very important is coming up, folks. And it's the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And, you know, Biden, like Obama, They really don't feel what the rest of us in this country feel. Biden, like Obama, will not blame Saudi Arabia, will not even put them in the same sentence with 9/11, when those who flew the planes into the buildings were Saudi nationals. Well, a group of more than 1,800 family members, first responders, and survivors directly impacted by the attacks of 9/11 have said to President Biden, "You are not welcome at our memorial events this year."
That's
and
huge.
To them, I say kudos.
You wonder, you really wonder, the way things have been going, if he were to show up, what would happen? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, violence, but what I'm talking about here is if he showed up in Lower Manhattan for a 9/11 memorial, what would the police do? I mean, Biden's all about defunding the police. I don't care what he says. His actions speak louder.
I think they'll turn their backs on him publicly
before the cameras. I don't think he'd be welcome down there. I don't think de Blasio would be welcome
He's
down there.
He's not welcome there either.
I don't think Cuomo would be welcome down there.
No way.
You know, I mean, what these family members, like Diane said, first responder family members, what these people have to say should be taken very, very seriously. This is their ceremony. This is their day of remembrance. These are the people that lost people 20 years ago. Okay, and they need to be paid attention to, and Biden had better stay the hell away from there.
If he was smart, he would, because he promised the 9/11 families truth and accountability. And the fact that you will not even admit the country from which these bastards came from shows you're not about truth and you're not about accountability. And they have every right to say who should be at their memorial and who should not be at their memorial. And Joe Biden and anyone in his administration, as far as I'm concerned, have no right or business being there.
I mean, think about it, folks.
To them for saying publicly what they said, we don't want you here.
I agree. Now, folks, we're only just barely over a month away from September 11th, okay? September 11th, I believe, is on a Saturday this year.
I'm not sure right off the bat, but it might be.
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it's on a Saturday. This little inside radio, Diana and I are now having a meeting. You and I are going to have to discuss what we want to do on that Friday.
Yeah. I normally, what I have done since 9/11, because I knew people killed on that day. And what I have normally done that day, I have posted no politics, nothing funny, nothing even remotely different than 9/11. All I will post on that day is 9/11 tributes. And maybe we should kind of do a tribute show. It is the 20th anniversary. That's a big milestone, folks.
That's a big
two decades. It's been since our country was changed, and we have forgotten who the enemy is. Who did this to us has now infiltrated our Congress, infiltrated the White House, and you know what I mean. And we're forgetting. We are forgetting this very important day.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be forgotten on Right Side Patriots. No, I can tell you that. No. It's not going to be forgotten on the pages of the Patriot Factor or the pages of the National Patriot. That's Diane's blog and my blog, respectively. And it's not going to be forgotten by a majority of good, solid, red, white, and blue patriotic Americans. Now, liberals, the mainstream media, they'll try to, you know, they'll try to get some ratings out of it, but to them, it doesn't mean anything outside of ratings.
No, and I wonder what Ilhan Omar will say this year. Some people died that day.
No, some people did something. That's what she said.
Oh, some people did something. You're right. Yeah, that was what she said.
I will never forget.
Is this how the liberal media is going to handle this solemn anniversary? I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it deserves to be remembered, not just on September 11th, but every day people need to remember what happened that day. I mean, just like Veterans Day isn't just one day. You salute and remember and appreciate our veterans every day.
Yeah, and it's amazing down there. I was down there and took part in the 10th anniversary. I would have been there for the 20th, but as people know, I was involved. I was hit by a car. I'm still recovering from the injuries. I cannot physically be there for the 20th. But I do plan on being there for the 25th.
So, I'm glad you brought it up. I really am because I was asked to bring it up. Yeah, yep. We need to talk about those things. Yeah, we need to talk about those. And again, you won't hear that on the mainstream media either.
No, not at all.
Well, so, folks, I'm telling you what, that just about wraps up our show for tonight. If you missed any part of it, go to rspradio1.com. Click the podcast button tomorrow morning. It will be there.
Yes, it will. This time it will, folks.
We promise.
The buttons all work. The show is recording.
It certainly is. Diane, I think it's time to say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Have fun this weekend, folks. If you're heading up to Sturgis, be careful. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
Yes.